We are joined by attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. You know, Jeff, there's so much going on in the world, and one of the things that has been dominant in the news is the toppling of statues and monuments because these people who are from the 18th and 19th century, some from the 20th century, like Calvin Griffith, but what we're doing is, not we, what people are doing, the people that want to take these statues down, they are putting 21st century expectations, values, and enlightenment, imposing it on these men from the 18th and 19th century who lived without, well, no electricity, no plumbing, no cable news networks to tell them how to behave. And we all agree racism is reprehensible, and it would be great if it had been eradicated by now. But we still can make that happen in the present day. But as for the past, it cannot be altered, but we can learn from it. But when you start taking all these statues and monuments down, what can we learn? I don't understand how everyone, basically everyone who formed this country was a racist. Some of them had slaves. Even Ulysses S. Grant, who was given a slave by his father-in-law and gave the slave his freedom, they toppled one of his statues. I don't understand it. And he, by the way, he also fought to eliminate the Ku Klux Klan, started, by the way, by a bunch of Democrats.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, is that the Democrats seem to get a pass in this. Even current Democrat candidates, more specifically current Democrat presidential candidates, who have, you know, Joe Biden has said more racist things in the last year than Calvin Griffith ever said in his lifetime. I mean, Calvin got drunk one night in Waseca at a Lions Club dinner and said some very inappropriate things. But if Rod Carew can forgive him, and Rod Carew had a wonderful statement after the statue came down, just very, very nice, you know, things to say about Calvin Griffith. I don't know why we're still dwelling on this. In a way, I think the Twins could, you know, they said, let's just take it down before we have a problem and have these goons outside the stadium trying to yank the thing down. Yeah, it's a problem. And I think I think there's a more sinister motive here, Bobby. This has gone so far past George Floyd's death. It's not even funny. This is cultural Marxists trying to erase the history of this nation to go back to say our nation was founded by a bunch of white racist slave owners. Therefore, we've got to toss the whole thing out, the Constitution, all of it, and we'll write a new one. This is what they're trying to do. This is the French Revolution.
Yeah, well, they're succeeding because enough.
Because everybody's sitting on the sidelines.
I mean, the fact that everybody's... The Aunt Jemima, the Mrs. Butterworth. I didn't even know that it was a caricature. The bottle was supposed to be of a black woman. I just, you know, if you like the syrup, you like the syrup. Uncle Ben, and also cream of wheat. It's a guy in a chef's hat, mm-hmm. just like Chef Boyardee, a guy in a chef's hat. No one's calling for the end of Chef mm-hmm. Boyardee. Point where things, yes, some things make sense, others don't. I'll tell you what does. If they're going to carry this out and this is going to continue, Yale has to change its name. Absolutely. Founded by a slave owner.
There's a lot of universities that are going to have to change their name.
Well, Harvard, too.
Yale, Brown, Georgetown. Yeah, Harvard. Well, why stop at changing their names, though, Bob? Let's give them the statue treatment. Let's just bulldoze the buildings.
Well, because it was an institution of race. Here, the guy who started, who's Yale, was it Elihu Yale? He was not only a slave owner, he was a slave trader. That should have take that name. Today, if this name is there on Tuesday, there's something wrong. If you want to follow out and do what they're doing around the country, there's no. But how many people in Congress are from Yale? Republicans and Democrats. Well, I'm not going to allow it.
Maybe every Yale alumni is going to have to pay reparations.
Well, they got enough money in their endowment to do it. It's just right. All these colleges, they should be the ones, if you want reparations, get it from them. My family came from Italy, you know, my family didn't start coming here until like the turn of the century. So I had nothing to do with this whole thing. As a matter of fact, my ancestors in Italy were probably slaves. Or treated like them, mm-hmm. but there has to be, and where is, you got Trump talking about it, but he hasn't done anything. People have to stand up and say enough. And what my solution is, change the plaque. Note Calvin Griffith, for example, one night mm-hmm. he made these comments. You mentioned Rod Carew. Rod Carew says, I don't believe he was a racist. He made a racist comment in that one night in was it Winona?
Waseca.
I always confuse the W's in the state.
Yep.
Anyway.
He did it. Waseca, and Nick Coleman happened to be in the room, who was with the Star Tribune at the time, and wrote a story about it.
Yes.
And that's why anybody even knows about it.
And Calvin, I don't know that he ever apologized for it either, which probably didn't help him any. But see, that's the other thing. We keep putting these, like I said, these present-day values on men from the 18th, 19th, and certainly 20th century, too. But a lot of them did reform, like Ulysses S. Grant. They give him no credit reforming, yet you got this pig as a governor in Virginia, Ralph Northam, who still hasn't owned up to who he was in the photo in his college yearbook. He was either the guy in blackface or the guy wearing a Klan outfit. And he's gotten a pass because, oh, he said he would work to help and make things better for African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he get to basically change his history and get a free pass? Well, and I don't want to come down and make it appear I'm coming down on Democrats, but if you're a Democrat, you got a much better chance of getting away with things than anyone else.
A Republican that says those things or does those things gets kicked out of office, gets hit by the cancel culture. A Democrat, though, is given a pass. I mean, everybody calls President Trump a racist and a bigot. You have Joe Biden, who literally has said in 1977, I don't want, you know, he was against school desegregation because he didn't want his kids growing up in a racial jungle. If Donald Trump said that, what would the left be saying right now? They'd be apoplectic.
Yeah, and what about the?
And that was in 1977. That was a year before Calvin Griffith made his comments.
When did he make the comment about the poor kids?
I forget what it was, where he said it. But
give the quote.
It's the quote.
Yeah.
Someone's, you know, talking about Calvin Griffith being a racist. I said, by that standard, is this the person who said this racist?
Did they agree before you told them who it was? Or did they know who it was?
They knew who it was.
Okay.
So here's what he said. This is what he said. Said, unless we do something, this is Joe Biden, 1977. Unless we do something about this, my children are going to grow up in a jungle. The jungle being a racial jungle, with tensions having built so high that it is going to explode at some point. We have got to make some move on this.
Oh, my God. And then the other comment about the, was it the poor kids or white?
Poor kids are, he said that last year.
Yeah.
Poor kids are just as smart, as bright as white kids.
And he gets a free pass from this.
He tells the radio host, the podcast host, if you vote for Trump, you ain't black.
But because the media does not come down on him and he gets a free pass because he happens to be the party that the media wants to see get back in or get in. The thing about what's amazing about Biden, too, and I posted something on Twitter, if he was a fraction as lucid and coherent as the guy or woman writing his Twitter feed, he actually would not be a bad candidate. But you know he probably doesn't even read what's being posted on his Twitter.
Someone
feed.
Else writes those tweets.
Oh, there's
and
no doubt.
You know, there's a lot of talk about what happened at Trump's rally on Saturday, and it was not good to have, you know, a third of the building filled. That's a whole other issue as to what happened there. But the point is, Donald Trump got out and campaigned in person, and if this campaign starts to shift, if Biden can't be hidden in the basement, we're going to have more comments from him, and people are going to see the cognitive mental decline.
Oh, how could you not see it? It's denial if you don't see it.
You can say what you want. I talk to a lot of people that say, I really don't like what Trump says, but I like his policies. And I think he's going to have the president's going to have to kind of say that. You know, you may not like my style, my personality. I do it for a reason, but look at what I've done. But I think that it's a real nasty game what the Democrats are playing. This is the Nancy Pelosi glass of water theory, right? We can put anybody up, and you're going to vote for them. And then we're just going to have, I don't know who's going to run it behind the scenes, if Obama's going to be like a shadow president or his vice president or what, you know, what group is going to be controlling him behind the scenes. But it sure as heck isn't going to be Joe Biden because he's not there.
No, he isn't there. He's an empty suit. And, Jeff, the thing about, like, Trump, you mentioned this, apparently the giddiness about him not having a full arena, and then we hear that TikTok and some other some group K-pop, two guys who are musicians, they instigated this and said to young kids, don't let them, you know, buy up the tickets, get all those tickets, this way nobody can show up or won't be full. And then you see the giddiness of AOC. What are you, crazy? You're basically endorsing fraud, and that It's,
yeah, you're not making a very persuasive case to having vote by mail in November when you're playing dirty tricks on someone's rally in June.
And here's the other thing. They're mocking him. He gave some excuse about, you know, it was slippery or his shoes. They are mocking him because of the way that he needed help getting down the ramp, and also about how he's holding a glass. A man who's considered by many to be one of our greatest presidents couldn't walk. I mean, mm-hmm. FDR had polio and needed help to walk, but they look for every opportunity. I hate being cast as someone to defend Trump, but it's outrageous. So what if he needed help coming down the ramp?
Well, and you know, and to use a biblical reference, when you compare it to your own nominee, take the timber out of your eye first. Your guy doesn't know where he is on any given day.
No, and also when you look at some of the news conferences or the gatherings he's had, he's got one or two people there. Right. Nobody shows up for him.
Well, and I heard somewhere that 5 million people watched online. So I wouldn't get too giddy over the fact that, you know, enough people were, you know, concerned about protests and the coronavirus that they chose to stay home and be safe and watch it from the comforts of their home. I wouldn't get too giddy about that.
Jeff, you know what concerns me? That I believe that many of the leaders, now the rank and file Democrats, there's no issue with them at all. It's the ones in leadership. They want the COVID-19 to continue and be extended because they're scared to death of Biden actually does have to face Trump in a debate, because his cognitive issues will be at the forefront, and even the people in denial now will see what he is. It's horrible. And by the way, I read today that, and I believe COVID-19, it's devastating to many people, especially the elderly, but a lot of these positives, like if you are positive with COVID-19, you could have several tests a week because you can't go back to work till you're negative. Well, one person could count a dozen or more times in the count because that's a positive. Yeah. And that's something wrong with that too.
Yeah, the game playing with the reporting of the numbers for this virus has been despicable. I know of friends who lost loved ones due to other causes and fought to not have it classified as a COVID-19 death because the hospital or whoever was trying to get more federal funding or reimbursement for their care.
It's disgusting.
It is. You know, one of the things that came out in the medical examiner report on George Floyd was that he was positive for COVID-19. I'm like, well, this is gonna be a real dilemma for the left. How are they gonna? Are they going to try to double count this one as a, you know, death by a, you know, police officer and COVID-19? How are they ever going to pull that off?
You know, there are so many different ways we can go with all of this, but just to recap, the statues and the monuments, change the plaque, say what they were or what they did, but you cannot eradicate history. And that's what they're trying to do.
I will say this. For monuments to Confederate figures, you know, take them down. I mean, they committed treason against the country. It's, you know, I don't disagree with taking those monuments down. But now that we've shifted to Ulysses S. Grant, George Washington, Teddy Roosevelt at the Museum of Natural History in New York, what's the point?
It has to end. And you know what? I would fight if they tried to take Yale's name off of Yale. Because it was a completely different time, and let everyone know that he was a slave trader.
I would say apply a uniform rule. Either they all come down, or none of them come down.
Well,
and you can explain them away.
No, the rule is they come down if it's from a party you don't like. But you're right. The Democratic Party, if you use the same rules, that should be eradicated because their ancestor did not want slaves freed.
The Republican Party was formed to end slavery. Frederick Douglass was a Republican. Here's you know what would be a good first start when talking about renaming things? The Russell Senate Office Building in Washington, D.C. is named after a senator who was an avowed segregationist from the South. They should change the name to the Revels Senate Office Building. Hiram Revels was the very first black U.S. senator elected in this country. Guess what party he's from?
Republican? Democrat?
Yep. And guess which party that Russell was from?
Not Democrat.
Democrat. Democrat.
Right. Jeff,
let's take the racist Democrat, put the Black Republican up there.
All right, we need to wrap things up. Jeff O'Brien, thanks so much. Chestnut Cambrone, Jeff, always look forward to talking to you. We'll take a quick break and be right back.